Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are on airing, I believe, December the 2nd, probably Tuesday into December. Here we go into Christmas.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. We are talking about, you know, forgiveness, reconciliation, which is an interesting topic as we go to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting enough, you know, a lot of people actually don't enjoy the holidays much, partly because they change the whole routine anyway. Financial pressure, activity level increases of stuff we got to do. And then we're around sometimes family and other people that aren't very pleasant to be around.
Yeah. Actually, can I, before you even go any further, can I just highlight, because you said that, pay attention to what Rich just said there in the fact that these things that are already difficult are amplified because there are the things that create what you often call low-level infection.
Yes, yes.
You know, when we have a change in our regular schedule, a change in what is normal, when our schedules are busier, financial pressures have come in, those are all things that actually change our threshold for people as well. And so I think that is something to pay attention to and to let God help you set yourselves up for success in this season and to ask him what he wants to address in that as this time, whether it is finances, whether it is margin, whether it is what you say no to, you know, all kinds of things. But even just preemptively coming into this season, don't be negligent of letting God do that work, because that will help you step into all of this with forgiveness and reconciliation for the stuff that is going to come up as families get together.
Yeah.
With a more pure heart and more ready to walk into what God has.
Yeah, let's talk about that briefly. I think that's a good point. Because it's going to be different this month, and it is, it's just not cultural. What are some of the things you do? And I can add a little bit what we do, but how do you, at the beginning of this month, I know that you kind of look through some things differently in calendar and stuff, and knowing that it's going to be stressful and added to
right.
our typical routine, what do you do to put yourself in a position where you actually can enjoy it?
Yeah, there are, and I know you guys do this sort of thing too, but we actually look well ahead. But if you haven't done that, start now. But we look well ahead and talk about what are the rocks, the things that when we get to the end of the month, we absolutely want to have gotten to enjoy.
Yeah.
And those are the most important. And that's where we want our time and energy. And we put them into our calendar early on so that nothing interferes with that. Then we step back and look at what is left. And we literally will mark off days of, we have to say no because this is coming and we want to have the mental and emotional bandwidth for XYZ. And we know ourselves well enough to know that if we don't, some of these things we won't get the enjoyment out of that God would like us to get, right? And so we have to be very, I don't even call it self-aware. People will call it self-aware. I call it God-aware. Be very God-aware of what our hearts need to be positioned well to walk in joy in this season. And so that for us is a calendar clearing. It is also a budget setting. When we early on pray through, God, what do you want us to have saved for? And what do you want us prepared to spend? And what is your heart's desire? How are we blessing this person? What do you want us to have set aside to freely give to somebody in this season? All of those things are things we tee up to him and allow him to lead and set ahead of time so that we don't find ourselves reacting and guessing. And then in the stress of what in the world are we doing? We just overspent. We just did this when really God said, no, I actually want you to love this person by doing this, not spending all this money or, you know, whatever it happens to be, but allowing him to lead that and taking the intentionality to set that up with God early and with my spouse early. So those are all very preemptive things to the season. And it doesn't matter if you have all the money in the world and all the time in the world. These are principles that I think God wants to lead us in.
Yeah. Well, we know one thing, we don't have all the time in the world. I don't even think we have all the money in the world either. But so what, you know, what you're saying is that, you know, focus on calendar mm-hmm. and activity. So work that through, and you can set your calendar for the month, and you mm-hmm. you kind of know what, you know, you got business, office parties, small group right. parties, all kinds of stuff that you are going to be part of, family gathering. And then financially, you know, what would allow you to enjoy mm-hmm. this season without January coming with a heavy credit card bill?
Right.
And, you know, go ahead. And if you got to change it up, change it up. And then, by the way, God might say, you know, next year, it would be healthy for you to build up a little savings mm-hmm. for this and use cash, not credit cards, you know,
yeah.
to do
it.
And
let him lead you in how to do it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, what you'll find is that because everybody's in a common place, you're communicating this up front, you'll find a receptivity to it. Like, right. like for example.
And a relief even in some people.
Yeah. This is many years ago with our extended family. Typically, we all would buy each other gifts. Mm-hmm. And one of the people said in our family, hey, you know what? It's a little bit of a burden. So could we do it as a group and just draw a name that we're going to give one gift to one person mm-hmm. with a time of cards and things that we can discuss our joy at being a family, but not worry about the financial piece of it.
Right.
It's like, yeah, that's a good idea. So sure. So there was a drawing of the name. And then instead of buying, you know, 12 gifts, you buy one. Mm-hmm. Well, that was good. You know, they felt relief from that, you know.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes somebody speaking up about that to actually get there.
Yeah.
Right.
And hey, is there a way for us to do this or to help it? This year actually is going to be different for us, for Linda and I, and our family. First of all, our kids are all in college, so they're gone. And they won't be, you know, they'll be coming back for Christmas. But Linda's family, she's German, and her family lives in Bavaria, Germany. Mm-hmm. And they've always invited us, you know, you need to come over and do a tour of the Christmas markets.
The Christmas markets are amazing, right?
In Bavaria and Austria, you know. And so, yeah, you know, someday, you know. And well, last year we had our retreat in Austria. Mm-hmm. And so I buy a round trip ticket. And then after I buy my round trip ticket, we get invited by Heath and Rebecca to, hey, could you sweep by Iceland first and do some retreats with non-believers and believers, mm-hmm. which we've started with that. And it's amazing stimulus there. I think it's the beginning of a revival that they've mm-hmm. started, and we're joining
so cool.
them in it. Yeah, sure. I started looking at, okay, change my tickets. And because of the way that they operated, I thought I'll just change my one way. Instead of going from here to Germany directly, I'll go through Iceland. But if I did that, the cost of just going to Iceland through this on this airline was equivalent to a one-way to the round trip ticket. Mm. And I'd lose that round trip ticket, you know. So it's like, well, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
So what if I only use the one ticket on the round trip and bank the other one, and then I do a new ticket. Mm-hmm. Okay, that worked financially. Okay, now I was going to give up that one way, and they said, actually, if you do a round trip from Germany to Denver and back to Germany, it'll be the same price. Mm. So, okay. Well, I'll do that. I'll switch it, and I'll do this one way through that, and I'll switch it. So we wound up with a return flight to Austria.
Nice.
So when are we going to do that? Hey, let's do it Christmas.
Excellent.
And then, you know, so we did, and we then worked our coming back actually through Iceland, because we're going to do it again by spending some time on the way back. And that ticket is very cheap, you know. So we wound up with a round ability to get to Germany back at Christmas without having to pay any extra money.
Excellent. So when are you guys going?
So we're going to go in December. I think it's the 8th through the 16th.
Excellent.
And our Linda's cousins are going to take us on a tour.
Oh, how fun!
Of the Christmas markets there.
You know, side note: Renee and Javi are going to be over there during that same time on a river cruise that tours the Christmas markets.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Man, that'll be beautiful. So we're going to be doing that. So that's going to, in a sense, it's a great joy, but that means that the things we typically would have done, you know, from the, you know, middle of December, we're not going to be able to do. So we have to do less this year when we go back home.
Right. And even taking into account that you may be tired coming off of that trip. And so it does adjust things really, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So the things we would typically have done, we're not going to do. And there may be some parties we can't go to. And we've got to plan that all out. Mm-hmm. Our calendar. And then with the expense of what we're doing, our family is going to do less gift giving this year. Because again, we got to be careful that we don't let that creep up on us as, well, we have to, when mm-hmm. really just being together and being,
right,
you know, and do we need it, that gifts? No, we don't need it. And maybe there's a different way to express it. And so we keep doing what you suggest, is that we're redoing our calendar and we're redoing our financial commitment mm-hmm. this year in a different way. And everybody, interesting enough, that's what we found out, is other people kind of appreciate that.
Right.
They don't feel like you have to. Maybe that releases them some as well.
Yeah. I always tell people, get really comfortable with saying no.
Yeah.
You know, but allowing that to be God-led. When God, we talk about all the time, abiding leads to truth, truth leads to freedom. If you're abiding and you're asking God, what on your calendar what are the anointed appointments here? Where do you want me to be? What do you have for me? And what do you want me to say no to? And then you simply say yes to what he's saying yes to. You can guilt-free say no to something. Right. And no, I'm not supposed to be there, and be okay with that. And when you start practicing saying no, just based on that, you actually give other people the freedom for the same thing, which that's very countercultural.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's a good reminder. Thanks, Kathy, for that. If anybody needs help with that, you know, let us know. We're happy to help you walk through it. It's not as easy as it sounds, and it takes time and processing, and you and your spouse, you and your
and
family,
tweaking.
Inner circle, you know, keep working at it. To walk through it. So we're talking about reconciliation and forgiveness. And yesterday we introduced this concept of reconciliation is the second piece that we have opportunity for bringing back to harmony, the relationship, being back to harmony, the things of God, because we first have gone to forgiveness, which is what he did. Mm-hmm. And we said, remember, everyone stands condemned. No ability, because the requirement was perfection. He went to the cross on his own volition with his own nature and said, I took the penalty on my own nature of forgiveness so that you can have an opportunity for reconciliation. Now, because I did that doesn't guarantee reconciliation.
Right.
And it doesn't provide the reconciliation. It only gives you the opportunity for reconciliation. Which means you have to process the truth. And if you receive the truth and decide that what I did for you is what you want to live out, you receive that and now you're transferred from death to life. Reconciliation. If you choose not to, by not pursuing the truth, and by the way, it's not because I purposely decided yes or no. If I don't pursue the truth and decide anything, you're automatically not reconciled. See the difference?
Right.
When we have relationship issues, somebody has hurt us, crossed our line of justice, we are now separated. The relationship is broken. Well, first go to forgiveness. I've already forgiven him, and I don't want that to be characterized in your life a burden. But now you offer the opportunity for that person to go to reconciliation based on the truth that your relationship is broken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's look at the truth of that about how people get reconciled to God, because then we have to follow the same pattern. So go to John 14:6.
Says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Okay, now what's the simplicity of that statement? What does that mean?
It's all about him. It's only through him that we can get there.
Because he is the truth, the way, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
What he did is the truth, the way, and the life. The opportunity is, if you want to be reconciled, there's only one way.
Mm-hmm.
And even the church right now in the world is preaching what I call universalism, where there's lots of different ways in all these different religions. You can get there through Buddhism and through Islam and Hindu. All this is, you can get to God that way. And God says, no, not true. There's only one way, and it's through Christ, what he did at the cross. You have to receive it. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Mm-hmm. You're not reconciled unless you process the truth, because I am the truth. Okay, go to John 3:36.
Sure. It says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe The Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
Yeah. Okay. So he says that the difference between having the life of God and not having the life of God. And by the way, if you don't have the life of God, you have the wrath of God. Mm-hmm. And the wrath of God is just separation. You're going to be eternally separated, living in torment eternally because there was not a belief. What's the demarcation? See, it's belief. Mm-hmm. Well, belief in what? The truth. See, if you have a heart to believe the truth, you will have everlasting life with me. I've already forgiven you, mm-hmm. but you're going to have to process that. If you don't believe, which is where you start from, see, we don't believe it because we don't know it.
Right.
We have to know it, learn it. So I need God in my life in order for me to have life with him. Yes. Then I process that. I believe it. I understand it. I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now you're transferred into life. Mm-hmm. Okay, how? I had to process that truth. He didn't alter the truth. It says you either have it or you don't.
Right.
And if you have the life, it's because you believe the truth of what I did, and you came through that process, and you have it. Okay, 1 John 5:12 says it in another way.
It says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life.
Okay, so.
That's pretty straightforward.
What is straightforward about that?
It's all him. You know, there is no life apart from him, period.
Either have it or you don't. And well, how do you receive it? Process the truth. So if what God says is because of the fallen nature of man mm-hmm. and the sinful state of man caused by Adam and Eve's disobedience, which he said, if you eat of that tree, you're going to die, which they did, creating the sin nature. Well, he said, fortunately, that's not the end of the story, is that I acted on my behalf to take away that requirement that you have to be perfect. And I took on the penalty by forgiving you at the cross. But now your destination is going to be determined on you processing that truth. Mm-hmm. That takes two parties. And God said, that takes me, who's offered it to you, and you to receive what I've offered based on that truth. And there's only one truth. Mm-hmm. I don't alter. I don't change. I don't come up with a different way to, yeah, okay, I see that you can't get to the truth of what I did. So how about if I come up with this? He said, there's only one way. There's only one truth, mm-hmm. period. If you're going to be reconciled with me, either you are or you aren't.
Right.
Okay, now think about it. What is the difference between I am or I'm not? What have I had to do?
You've had to actually step into reconciliation with him.
Yeah, I had to process that truth mm-hmm. in order to be reconciled. So he said, that's the way life is set up, and everybody has to go through that process to be reconciled with me. Mm-hmm. So he said, now if that's how it works with me, and you stand with me, I've forgiven them. I take away that they can't get to reconciliation. I mm-hmm. give them a pathway to reconciliation, but they now have to process the truth. So he says, as you look at your situation, somebody has harmed you. That's true. They've crossed the line of justice. That's true. They deserve your anger and wrath. That's true. He said, I don't need you to deny any of that. So that's why, by the way, don't stuff it. He said, I don't want you to stuff it. I want you to bring it out and say, they deserve my anger and I'm angry about it. He said, good. Number one, let's go to forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Why? I've already forgiven them. Now, I want to show you how to have an opportunity to offer them the opportunity for reconciliation out of honor and respect and an invitation that they are going to have to process that truth. If they do, you have a possibility of reconciling. If they don't, they won't be reconciled. Mm-hmm. And they will stand condemned just like they stand with me. So in other words, I'm not asking you to do something different than what I do.
Right.
Just stay with me, stay with me. So in the situation I've given with the explanation of Linda, you know, when I'm late, she would say, do you have a desire to the truth of what you did? Mm-hmm. That cross that line of justice. And see, I have to now make a decision. I would like to, mm-hmm. which by the way is the ideal. God said, that's the best place to be, is that the other party says, yeah, I would like to. Okay, now what would I have to do? I have to process that truth mm-hmm. to the point where I'm sorry for what I did. Here's how I'm going to change. And will that be satisfactory to you? Yeah, that you understood the truth of it. You processed a truthful resolution. We can be reconciled. Okay, what? Only because I had a desire and a willingness to do it. And I did it because you, because the way you forgave me, you at least offered that to me with honor and respect. If you came with edginess and hardness and anger, I'm going to battle you just on that, see? And we're never going to get to this reconciliation piece. Separated out, we stand with Christ in forgiveness, but we also stand with him in the reconciliation process.
Right.
And that's based on the truth. So we're going to pursue that because there's now, there's all kinds of possibilities of what does that look like? And it's not interesting enough, as you can testify. Is it always ideal? And the other person says, oh yeah, sure. Most of the time they don't care, you see. So we have to process. So thank you, Father, for showing us the truth of how reconciliation happens with you. And we pray that we'll learn that same thing in our life so that we know we'll get a point where we'll know what happened, but it takes two parties. And may we understand that. And so we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. Great conversation. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we'll see you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.